Hello, everyone, and good morning. It's currently morning time for me as I record this. I worked last night. I just got off shift this morning, so pretty tired. I'll get some rest after that, but we'll make it work. It was a pretty busy night for us, but not only us, but for everyone in the county last night. It was one of those nights. It happens. Today, I kind of just wanted to talk about probably how you deal with family members and, you know, trying to explain to them what's going to happen with their loved one, because not only do you take care of the patient that they called 911 for, but you also try and do your best to take care of the family members there as well. So I'll try and explain a little bit about how to do that and why I'm talking about it. So like I said, last night I worked, and we kind of came into this problem with the family. And I'll tell you the story about what happened later. But dealing with loved ones is very difficult because obviously they're in a stressful situation. They've got 2 to 5, just depending on how or where you work, but they got 2 to 5 strangers, you know, walking into their house, and they are putting all their trust in you to help their loved one. So they're obviously going to be very worried. And a lot of the times they're not going to be helpful to you in the way you need them to be, because you're going to need to know medical history, things about the events that happen, you know, information about the event and things like that. And their minds are not going to work in a way that you need them to. So you being a healthcare provider, you really have to be patient. And I know some of these calls you go on to, they're going to be time sensitive calls where you just need to move quickly and get the patient in the ambulance, do what you need to do in the back and get going to the hospital. But you got to be patient with the family members and trying to collect the information that they can give you. And it's going to be frustrating because, like I said, they're stressed out. They've got strangers in their house. They're worried about their loved one. So it's frustrating when you explain what you need and what you're doing and they don't understand that. So you just have to kind of keep your cool, keep a level head, and try not to show your frustration and just bottle it up real quick. And then, you know, talk about it with your partner afterwards and try and relieve some of that stress from yourselves. But last night, we got a call from way out of our zone. It was about 20 minutes away, but it was an alpha level call. And like I've explained before, alpha levels are some of the not so serious calls. So we get dispatched code 1, and for us, code 1 is no lights, no sirens. We get on scene. The patient's in the kitchen. There's some blood on the floor. She had fallen putting away her dishes. She had a really good, decent-sized hematoma to her forehead from where she had hit her tile floor. She had her husband, and I don't know if they were neighbors or family members, but whoever they were there as well, helping out. And you know, we started asking the patient questions, you know, do you remember what happened? Did you lose consciousness? You know, things like that. You know, she denied losing consciousness. She could remember. But when it came time to just the simple A&O questions that we ask, the alert and oriented questions, she wasn't really able to answer them. We asked her what year it was. She said it was 1996. She didn't know what town she lived in, you know, things like that. So we got to thinking, well, maybe there's a little bit more going on here that we don't know of. Obviously, internal brain injury is a big concern. So next comes into, you know, asking family members, well, did you see what happened? No, we didn't see what happened. And asking if the patient is on blood thinners, that's a big one in falls, because, you know, obviously blood thinners thins the blood. So when you bleed, the clotting factor isn't there. So you tend to bleed for a prolonged period of time. So the family member and the patient were able to tell us that she was taking blood thinners. And obviously when you hit your head with blood thinners, that heightens the sense even more. So the family wanted us to go to a local hospital. Now the local hospitals here are not trauma centers. And my partner and I in the house discussed with each other that she needed to go to a trauma center. She met our trauma alert criteria, and we decided that's where we're going to take her. And our closest trauma facility was about 45 minutes away by ground, and we decided to go by ground instead of helicopter. We were in a position where it would have taken more time to get the helicopter ready, landed, you know, to us and then load. So we just decided to go by ground. But we were trying to explain to the family about why she was going to a trauma center instead of going to a local hospital. And her husband was very adamant that she needed to go to a local hospital. And this is where you have to step in and be a patient advocate. Even though the husband is saying go to a local hospital, ultimately it's up to the patient. And the patient was with it, but not with it enough to make her own sound decision. So we decided, obviously in best interest for the patient, to go to the trauma facility. But for some reason, I don't know why, her husband, you know, couldn't get it through his head. He couldn't process why we were taking her there. So there has to come a point where, unfortunately, you have to stop trying to explain to the family why you're doing something, and you move your patient into the back of your ambulance, you close the doors, and you just go on with your business and, you know, get underway to the hospital. So we do that. You know, I don't like just leaving and not telling the family, you know, or leaving the family to understand what's going on, but sometimes you just have to do it, and it sucks. But, you know, I help my partner out in the back after we load her in. We do all vitals, everything like that, get everything set up, ready to go. And I hop into the front, and the husband, again, comes walking up to the ambulance. He knocks on the window. I roll it down. He goes, so where are you taking her? I tell him which hospital we're going to, and he goes, well, I don't know how to get there. So I rip out a glove real quick. I write down the address to the hospital. I hand it to him, and we get underway. The whole point is you are going to come into many different situations. You're going to find yourself dealing with people that have so many different personalities, and you're going to have to deal with them differently. And it's going to be frustrating. You know, my partner and I, we were both in agreement, you know, after she couldn't answer the simple A and O questions, we were both in agreement she needed to go to a trauma center. And obviously, if you come into contact with family members and people and patients that don't have medical backgrounds. So they're not really completely understanding why a local hospital can't handle, their wife, their husband, son, daughter, or whatever, and they have to go out of county to a different hospital. You know, because obviously ambulances aren't cheap, right? You know, everybody knows ambulances aren't cheap, and insurance is just outrageously terrible on covering you. So you're worried about money, and families are worried about money. But what we tell them, my partner and I tell them is, money's replaceable, your family member's not. And usually with that, they come to their senses and they're like, okay, just do what you got to do. So you just try and keep your cool, try and explain to them, what's going on, why you're doing it. When he walked up to the window, he goes, I don't understand why she's going to a different hospital. And I told her, I was like, sir, she's got a pretty significant head injury, and the hospital's here, they're just going to ship her out anyway, and they're going to ship her out via helicopter. They're not going to use an ambulance, which, again, is more expensive. But that's beside the point. Point is, you have to just bottle up your emotions at that point. Just get through that call. It's there. EMS has some very trying times, and there are some people that are going to try you to the limits. Like, they don't even care. They just want you to like flip out on them so they can write a bad review or whatever, call your supervisor. It's just, there's some people in the world like that. Not saying that this guy was like that. He just, he was older. That also comes into play, age. Especially with the older people, and some might have dementia, Alzheimer's, it's just, you have to be patient. And the county I work in, it's a very elderly county. So your patience level has to increase with them. And, they've been with their, a lot of the times they've been with their loved one for, 50, 60 years. So they've known, no different life other than them being by their side. So when you take a loved one away from them, they're very concerned, which, is good. You want a concerned family member, but you don't want that family member to be in the way. You don't want them to be a burden to your patient care. So it's effectively a lose-lose. You can never win an EMS. So you just have to, play the line, you have to just kind of just weigh your options on how to feel it out. But it's all right. We get through it somehow, and we still have our jobs. But don't get frustrated. That's the biggest thing, because once you let it get to you, you're going to continue to let it get to you, and it's just going to snowball downhill, and every patient contact is going to get worse. Every family member contact is going to get worse. So just don't let it get to you. Have patience and just breathe, get through it. You can do it. But I kind of just rambled a little bit. It really didn't make any sense or much sense, but I hope it helps somebody out. You can get through it. Just keep your composure. You can do it. If I can do it, you can do it. Like I said, I just rambled pretty quickly. I'm tired. I don't know if I'm making any sense. I'm probably not, but when do I ever? That's a good question. But I'm going to get some rest. I hope this might have helped somebody. I don't know. But I really wish everybody the best week ahead. Have a great and fun weekend. I work this weekend, so I'm not going to be able to do anything fun, which sucks, but got to pay the bills. So like I said, everybody have a fun weekend, be safe, and God bless.